Hi, I'm Pastor Darrell Bailey. Thank you for tuning us in for our next Bible study. Are we there yet? We'd love for you to join us. We're located at 68 Ledford Lane, Cartersville, Georgia. Thank you for tuning us in as we get back into Are We There Yet? And so, I thank God as we get into our Bible study, this is our fourth lesson in Are We There Yet? This is a Bible study for couples that have lost their way or for those that have done a wonderful job of showing everyone else how beautiful marriage can be. I believe that this study will help you have the right principles, tips, and solutions no matter where you're at in your marriage relationship. And it will help you clarify the place in your marriage relationship and reveal a God-given perspective that can change and strengthen any marriage in the world. Every couple has realities that affect and they show up on our journeys of life. And I hope and pray that this Bible study will help reconnect marriages and commitments to come across this country. And so, as we've talked about in our first lesson about the dream destination, it dealt with direction in our life from Genesis chapter 2. And it looked different sometimes as we go through life that we begin to realize that that dream destination, it deals with our direction. And all of us have a dream destination in our lives, but out of Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 25, it dealt with the direction that we need in our marriage. Then we talked about in lesson 2 that it looked different in the picture. This deals with our expectations. Every one of us has some type of expectation that is overwhelmingly something that we are expecting in our marriage. Maybe it's such an expectation that no one can fulfill it, but God is the only one that can fulfill those expectations. But when we talked about it, it was in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. And then last time, we were talking about paying with foreign currency. It talked about our needs that need to be met and how that sometimes the men and the women get that crossed up and mixed up because women are looking for love and men are looking for respect. And so sometimes we get those crossed up where men try to teach and act toward their loved one the way that they are, which means that they want respect. And so they think they need respect, but the woman wants love. And the woman acts as if, you know, she needs love, but she treats the man that way instead of giving respect. And that was out of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 29. And so here today, we're looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. And today in lesson 4, it deals with it's a two-lane highway. This is dealing with communication. We started out with direction, expectations, needs, and now we're talking about communication. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication, there you go, proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And lastly, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, I thank God as one of the most common and problematic areas of life and marriage is what? How we communicate with one another. The relationship with poor communication is like a traffic jam. You know, here it's a two-lane highway. And you're not going anywhere, or at least not very fast, but grace-filled communication opens up one another's hearts, and it allows you to travel further together. And so, in lesson four, we examine Ephesians chapter 4 for guardrails on the communication highway for our lives. Heavenly Father, give us the ability to teach this lesson. Are we there yet? That we can share the truth, the kindness, the edification. Lord, may we recognize the harmful patterns that are in our communication with one another. And Lord, may the effect that it has on our relationships help us with our way of communicating with each other. Lord, we recognize your power of encouraging words for building up our spouse and bringing our marriage to stronger terms. I commit myself, Lord, to openness. I commit myself to honesty. I commit myself to consistency in my communication as a couple. And I ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Amen. Each and every one of us, as we go through life, we begin to realize that in lesson four, it's a two-lane highway. It's dealing with communication. And so each and every one of us, we look and realize that, you know, the U.S. standard railroad gauge, the distance between rails is like 4 feet 8 1/2 inches. It was such an odd number when you were taking it and looking to do measurements, but the way that it was built was in the time that originated in England, and American railroads were built by British constituents. So why did the English adopt the particular gauge? Well, because the people who built the pre-railroad tramways used that same gauge. They were locked into that gauge because the people who built the tramways used the same standards and tools that had been used for building wagons, which were set on a gauge of 4 feet 8 1/2 inches. And so why were wagons built to that scale? Because with any other size, the wheels didn't match the old wheel ruts on the road. So who built these old rutted roads? The first long-distance highways in Europe were built by Imperial Rome for the benefits of their legions. The roads have been in use ever since Rome built them. And the ruts were first made by Roman war carts. 4 feet 8 1/2 inches was the width that a chariot needed to be to accommodate the rear ends of a two-war horse. And so, maybe that's the way it's always been. Isn't the great excuse some people believe it to be is that that's the way that it's always been? So when it comes to communication between spouses, that's just the way that we do it. Or that's the way it was in my family. It's all too common to hear today. We get into ruts in our communication and we assume that there is no other way to move forward. And yet, one of the most important areas in a marriage is communication that is honoring to the Lord and building up each other. And so each and every one of us, as we go through life today and begin to realize how powerful it is to know Jesus Christ, each and every one of us in our life today, the tools that were used back then that are still just as powerful when we deal with communication, that one of the most important areas in a marriage is communication that is honoring to the Lord and building of each other up. regardless of the influences of your past or your own history of a couple and communication, if you know Christ as your Savior, you can move in a new God-honoring direction. Paul said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, he describes the owner of the gospel to transform our lives. And so in chapters 1, 2, and 3, he explains the theology of salvation, what it means to be in Christ. But in chapters 4, 5, and 6, he gives specific instructions related to the change Christ brings into all of our lives. Because in Ephesians 4, 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. So God intends for our lives to change, including our communication. And so this is good news because it means that we have the power of the gospel available to make changes in one of the most vital areas of our marriage. The words that we speak hold tremendous power. And their power is increased exponentially when we speak them and to people that we love. You know, if a stranger walked up to you in the grocery store and said, I hate you, you probably wonder what was wrong with that person. And you would move on. But if your spouse said, I hate you, you'd be devastated. And our words also hold lasting power long after we speak them. You can probably remember within a matter of seconds the most hurtful thing someone you love said to you. But conversely, you can probably also remember unexpected words of praise or thanks from someone you loved or you respected. Although these words may have only lasted just for a few seconds, they had a powerful influence on you and your life. And this is the same truth in marriage as well. The words that you say to one another, they have extreme significance. Boy, I think the wisdom of Proverbs says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Too often, Christian homes are no different than non-Christian homes in communication. Couples who wouldn't think of physically abusing one another may hurt the other even more deeply with sarcastic or cutting words. Husbands demean their wives and wives belittle their husbands, and they're yelling and screaming or silence and cutting off, but no one wins in this kind of environment, and not the spouse who hurts the other and not the spouse who claims up and refuses to speak. You're not in a relationship like when you were dating where you would go and go with another man just to hurt your beloved. When you're in a marriage and you do something like that, that is the most vulgar, evil thing that someone could do. That you're already not even, you're still in a relationship and you're around another man or woman is the most horrible thing that a person, the most hateful and horrible thing that a person could ever do. And perhaps the saddest aspect of communication dysfunctions is not the harm that is happening, but the good that is being missed. God created us with a need for relational connection, and marriage is a pinnacle of fulfilling that need. But it requires that we communicate with one another in godly, positive and kind ways. It requires that we purposefully drive both directions on the communication highway, listening and speaking into one another's hearts. A relationship with poor communication is like a traffic jam. You're not going anywhere, or at least not very fast. Are we there yet? But grace-filled communication opens up one another's hearts, and it allows you to travel further together. Further than you ever expected. That's what gives you those 30, 40, 50 year anniversaries. But in the final 8 verses of Ephesians chapter 4, we see 4 guidelines for how our communication should be conducted. And in keeping with travel as that theme, that we look at these 4 guidelines for how our communication should be conducted. Remember, it's a 2-lane highway. It's about communication. And so every one of us, a relationship with poor communication, that traffic jam of those four, eight verses of Ephesians 4, the guidelines of how our communication should be conducted. We look and realize that those four guardrails provide safety and access along the highway of the marriage communication. And so, as we start out of those four guardrails of guidelines for how our communication should be conducted. The first one is the guardrail of truth. The guardrail of truth. We read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You see, this guardrail lines either side of the communication highway, protecting travelers from two ditches that are there. On one side, there's a ditch of speaking anything less than the truth. And on the other side is the ditch of not speaking at all. Let's look at them both. The first, we see there's on one side no secrets of that guardrail of truth. There's no secrets. Lying has become a way of life for too many Christians, from hiding the truth to exaggerating the facts to bold-faced lies. Any breach in truthfulness will damage a marriage because it destroys the trust needed for real communication to take place. The wisdom of Proverbs, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Marriage is not a place for secrets. This means no hidden websites, no private texts or secret social media, no hidden checking accounts or credit cards, no blocking access to current accounts, no secret stashes of porn, no hidden relationships. Every part of either of your lives should be fully open to the other. And this is actually the picture that we have of the first marriage. Adam and Eve had total transparency with one another. Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, and they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. Now, although this verse is obviously speaking of the physical intimacy Adam and Eve shared, it also reveals the safety they felt in each other. They had no need to cover or hide until sin entered their relationship. Sin, it thrives in the shadows, and when you hide part of your life from your spouse, no matter how innocent or noble the reason seems, you open your life and your marriage to disaster. Jesus unequivocally stated that the devil is the father of lies and that there is no truth in him. Hallelujah. And so John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Yes, he is. Any departure from the truth in a Christian's life opens the door up to the devil. And where there have been secrets in the past, they must be brought out into the open, repented of those things, and sought forgiveness for, because this can be painful and you may need to seek the help of your pastor or your godly counselor. But don't go on living in the shadows, because that hidden place in your life will put your marriage into the ditch. One of the greatest lies Satan uses to keep secrets hidden is that if you expose the truth of hidden sin in your life to your spouse, it would put a worse strain on your marriage. This is true if you're thinking to expose that sin with the expectation that you will be allowed to go on participating in it. But it is not true where you expose it before it is found out and you're humble, repentant, and willing to take whatever steps are necessary to bring victory in your life and healing in your marriage. Oh, Proverbs 28:23 is both a warning against hiding sin and encouragement to those who want freedom. Listen, in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Oh, you may have a big secret. Your spouse doesn't even know about a secret sin of your past breach in your marriage faithfulness. You need to bring this out into the light. And if you definitely need wisdom and probably counseling as well on the timing and method to do it. You may need help to conquer that sin, or your spouse may need help to work through the ramifications of it. But whatever the case, do not keep it hidden. You cannot build a strong marriage on dishonesty or untruthfulness. Truth is always the best foundation for a relationship. Maybe you have no big secrets your spouse doesn't know, but is everything about your communication fully open and transparent? Because if your spouse knew everything that you know, would he or she think that you had been less than honest? One of the best ways to promote transparency in marriage is to embrace accountability with one another. Some people feel threatened by accountability. They think it implies a lack of trust. Actually, the opposite is true. When you choose accountability, you're building on trust. As the writer was preparing this resource for publication, Vice President Mike Pence made the news because of an article that mentioned Mike Pence never eats alone with a woman other than his wife, unquote. And the media ridiculed the Pences for this. In reality, their decision was wise. In a political world where scandals of infidelity are rampant, why would it be thought of as anything less than honorable for a couple to set boundaries of protection around their marriage? You know, by setting these boundaries of accountability for your marriage, you build trust in one another's hearts. Examples of these would be giving each other immediate and unrestricted access into all living spaces and electronic spaces, shared passwords for accounts, ability to look through each other's phones of your lives, answering each other's calls immediately and not being alone in a private setting with someone of an opposite sex. You see, a helpful phrase to remember is elevate accountability, eliminate doubt. Elevate accountability, eliminate doubt. Elevate accountability, eliminate doubt. If you're going to be home late from work, don't leave your spouse wondering where you are or who you're with. Make a quick phone call to explain why you're late and why you'll be home and when you'll be home. Because your spouse has the right to know where you are and what you're doing and who you're talking with. Everything that is on your phone and in your emails and any other part of your life. So don't feel interrogated or violated because your husband or wife asked. And don't accuse your spouse of mistrusting you. Eliminate any doubt in the other's mind by elevating accountability between the two of you. And so we see that of the guardrail of truth, one side of that ditch is there should be no secrets. On the other side of that ditch, there should be safe sharing. There is more to truthfulness than why you don't say. There's also what you do say, because Ephesians 4:25 not only warns us not to lie, but it also instructs us to speak truth. And good communication is proactive communication, where your spouse is the one person on earth with whom you can and do share anything and everything. Because regular communication is the highway to complete openness. And without the real exchange of thoughts and emotions, there will be no depth to your relationship. Men sometimes feel anxious about too much emphasis on communication. Often men they're reluctant to share deeply and transparently, and many don't think they need to. They don't always find it easy to share their thoughts and feelings, or for that matter, to know what to do with someone else's thoughts and feelings. But without learning healthy, godly communication, your relationship is going nowhere fast. Men, listen, husbands, please understand that your wife needs to talk, even as sexual intimacy is a need for you. So real communication is a need for your wife and beloved. And in fact, the more that you willingly engage in heart-level communication with her, the safer that she will feel emotionally, and thus the more responsive she will be to you physically. You see, if Ephesians 4:15, just as a few verses ahead of the passage that we read, that we're looking at, sets the context for safety in sharing with one another. Listen, Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That's powerful. Speaking the truth in love. The emotional climate of a marriage should make it easy to speak the truth, and it should promote growth together. What this looks like specifically to men and ladies is often slightly different. To most women, a safe environment is knowing that her husband is listening, that her feelings will not be ridiculed or made light of. And to most men, a safe environment is knowing that what he shares will not go further than that conversation. That is, it will not be shared with her mother or other women, her friends, or anyone else. A wife who learns to keep confidence with what her husband shares with her will find her husband more willing to share. And this difference is significant because women tend to be more open with their feelings. For a lady to share with someone else what a mutual friend shared with her may very well not be thought of as a breach in trust for any of them. But if a wife shared with a mutual friend what her husband shares with her, it feels different to him. And a man's emotions may be simpler and more straightforward than a woman's, and they often are, but he is generally less willing to expose them. And a wife who understands this can be the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31:11 that it speaks of, where it says, the heart of her husband doeth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Always remember that there are two sides to speaking the truth. Speaking it and speaking it in love. And without the guardrail of truth, marriage communication winds up in a ditch very fast. And so the guardrail of truth, on one side, there's no secrets. On the other side, there's safe sharing. But I thank God. The second thing that we see, that as we look at the guidelines of how our communication should be conducted, of the four guardrails, the second guardrail is of indignation. Because in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, the Bible says, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. You know, what about when communication or the lack of it leads to an impasse in going forward together? No real relationship avoids conflict. In fact, any relationship that does avoid conflict either has no depth or has no underlying stress that one or the other will not acknowledge. So, in our lesson, we look more closely at this passage and at dealing with conflict in general. But for now, let's look briefly at the two instructions this passage gives for us when you do face a point of conflict that evokes anger. First, be angry at the problem and not the person. Psalms 97:10 tells us that if we love God, we should hate sin. You love the Lord and hate evil in Psalm 71:10. Hatred and anger are not always wrong emotions. Listen. But they are wrong when they are directed at one another. And so, when you're dealing with conflict, determine to stand together in your anger. And that is, be angry together at the problem and not at each other. Henry Ford said a long time ago, don't find a fault, find a remedy. You are on the same team. And rather than pointing fingers at each other or one another, jointly tackle that problem that is hurting or threatening your relationship. And so, be angry at the problem and not the person. But second, do not let that anger linger. Don't let it linger in your problem and in your area. Each and every one of us, as we go through life today, and that lingering, you need to determine also that you'll never go to bed angry with one another, ever. This doesn't mean that you will always be able to develop an answer to the problem before you sleep or solve it. There may be times when you have to simply reach for the other's hand, reaffirm your commitment to solving the problem, and suggest giving it to the Lord until the morning. Even in those rare instances, praying together and committing to stand together against that problem. It helps to diffuse the anger and draw your hearts closer to one another. And as we'll see more fully in our next lesson after this, it also will help protect our hearts from Satan's advantages against our relationship. You see, the guardrail of proactive indignation helps you protect the most important part of your life, your heart. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all thy diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart, and you will guard your marriage. And so, refusing to direct your anger toward your spouse gives you another advantage in communication. It gives you the ability to listen. And so I thank God, every one of us, as we go forward. James 1:9 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Your grandmother probably said it differently. There's a reason that you have two ears and only one mouth. And sometimes we hear our spouse without actually listening to him or her. As the writer gave us, the author of our lesson, an illustration, have you ever lived somewhere near a loud noise like trains or traffic? At first, the noise is distracting and it feels, gosh, overbearing, like a railroad track with a train on it. The noise at first is distracting and it feels overbearing, but in time, you learn to completely tune it out. The noise is still there and you still hear it, but you're no longer listening to it. And when our reflect response to a situation is anger, we miss hearing the heart of our spouse. But when we guard our own heart against anger, we are free to really listen heart to heart and ultimately find a solution together. And so, as we say, the guardrail of indignation that every one of us should have is, first, be angry at the problem and not at the person. Second, do not let that anger linger. And the guardrail of proactive indignation, it helps you protect the most important part of your heart. Amen. If you guard your heart, you'll guard your marriage. And refusing to direct your anger toward your spouse gives you another advantage in communication, the ability to listen. And so, we've been talking about how that these guidelines, these guardrails for how our communication should be conducted. We talked about the guardrail of truth. And we talked about the guardrail of indignation. But thirdly now, we talk about the guardrail of kindness. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Have you ever stepped back and listened to yourself and you thought, wow, I sound horrible? I have. And I suppose all of us have. Amazingly, though, the basic courtesies that we show strangers are sometimes absent in our dearest relationships, particularly marriage. And if you want to have kind speech, it helps to set perimeters. As the author of our lessons gave us an illustration, the out-of-bounds areas on a sports court or a field help keep the game continuing. Similarly, having predetermined limits in your communication with one another helps to protect you from saying things in the heat of the moment that you'll regret later. The four simple rules for communication that I suggest in our lesson here are so basic that you might be tempted to overlook them. But unless you have already adopted these rules in your home, I ask you to consider committing to them. The first one is never threaten ever with divorce. Usually whoever mentions divorce first does it to try to get the other's attention. But once you crack that door open, even suggesting divorce as a possibility, you're giving Satan entrance to push it open wide. Make a commitment that the D word will never enter your disagreements or be hinted at as a possibility. If you're already crossed that line, why not pray together? Renewing your commitment to your marriage and making today a fresh start from which divorce is never mentioned ever again. And so, as I say, never threaten with divorce. May that be one of the guardrails of kindness, according to Ephesians 4:29. The second one, never argue in front of the kids, okay? The greatest gift that you give your children is to love your spouse and let them see that love. Sometimes parents purposely involve their children in arguments or disagreements in order to shame the other spouse or get the children to take sides. That's so wrong. And sometimes parents are just self-focused. Me, myself, and I. Self-focused enough not to consider the impact their fighting has on their children. Hearing their parents fight does influence children. And it makes them insecure, worries them that the disagreement is their fault, and even impacts their academics because of the emotional distraction that it creates. Make it a rule that you will stand united in love in the presence of your children, and you will work out disagreements privately. Never argue in front of the kids, I'll tell you. So what have I said about the guardrails of kindness? Never threaten with divorce. Never argue in front of your kids. But thirdly, never attack personally. This is the practical outworking of attacking a problem rather than a person. Instead of accusing, you always leave your socks on the bathroom floor because you don't care how much work I do around here, unquote. You explain your vantage point and you ask the question, I'm feeling overwhelmed with keeping the bathroom clean, and I know that it seems like a small thing to you, but would you mind putting your socks in the hamper in the bedroom after your shower? Don't presume to know your spouse's motives or turn an action into a lack of character. And so we're talking about the guardrail of kindness, number one of the simple rules of communication: never threaten with divorce. Never argue in front of the kids. Never attack personally. But fourth, take breaks during intense moments. Take breaks during intense moments. When you sense frustration or anger arising, take a few minutes to collect your emotions and to remember that you love your spouse before re-engaging in conversation. The wisdom of Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Instead of giving your spouse a piece of your mind, choose to give yourself a slice of time. Usually, if you will take a few minutes and be willing to give them to the other when he or she needs them, you're far less likely to say something that you will regret later. And so, as the author of Are We There Yet gives us an illustration, escalating emotions and communication can be like a car overheating on a road trip. The fact that it is overheating means that there's a problem, but it's best to let the engine cool before addressing it. And although it is best to not let your car overheat in the first place, just as it is best not to let disagreements in your marriage become heated, when it happens, you need to let the engine cool before pouring water in. Even so, it's wise when you're frustrated to give each other some space before attempting to resolve the disagreement. There's one practice of taking time out. However, neither spouse should use it as a way to shut down conversation. If you need to take time out, it's your responsibility to suggest another time to reopen that discussion later. You've heard the schoolyard rhyme, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's true. Words do hurt. And if you have been using your words to tear one another down, determine today to instead use your words to build one another up. That leads us to our final guardrail. And what have we said? never threaten with divorce, never argue in front of the kids, never attack personally, that we were talking about the indignations, the take breaks of intense moments of that guardrail. But here, for edification, every one of us, as we look and realize that as we go into our fourth guardrail, I want to say it again, never threaten with divorce, never argue in front of the kids, and never attack personally, and take breaks during intense moments. And so it brings us to our very last guideline of how our communication should be conducted. Amen. And that is the guardrail of edification. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. But that which is good is the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You see, we began this study noting the power of our words. For all the power they have to wound and to hurt one another, they also have tremendous power to build up. And in fact, to edify means to build. Think of the word edifice, a building. And if there is one action that love does, it is to build others. Paul said, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. Love edifies, it builds. Every time that we use our words to criticize one another, we are saying to our spouse, I don't love you. But every time that we speak words of encouragement and praise, we are communicating love in one of the most meaningful ways possible. Encouraging words are so powerful that Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, they minister grace unto the hearers. Listen, class, you can, through the very words you speak, be a dispenser of grace to your spouse. One of the best Bible studies that you could ever do individually or as a couple is a study on the impact of our words and how God desires for us to use our words to help others. As the author of Are We There Yet gives us the illustration, a husband read an article to his wife about how women use 30,000 words a day to a man's 15,000 words. The wife replied, that's because we have to repeat everything to men, unquote. And the husband turned to his wife and said, what? And since we exchange words with one another every day, we should purpose to use ours to minister grace to each other. As we finish this lesson, I want you to notice seven ways that we can use our words to build up one another. And as we do, I want you to consider how that we can bring this kind of communication into your marriage relationship as you build up your spouse with the kind of words that she deserves. And as we describe in these verses, first of all, one of the first things is building words give instruction and wisdom. Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. And so, as Proverbs goes on, in Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. And then, Proverbs 16:23, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. So building words give instruction and wisdom. But secondly, building words give direction for every one of us. As we look at our edification guardrail, we see that building words, as they give instruction to us. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy later end. Proverbs 27, 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doeth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. And so we see that the guardrail of edification is building words give instruction and wisdom, and building words give direction. But thirdly, building words give praise to the Lord. Building words, they praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Proverbs 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalms 51:15, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall shew forth thy praise. And so we see that not only building words give instruction and wisdom, building words give direction, and building words give praise to the Lord. But fourthly, building words encourage others. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in the pitchers of silver. Proverbs 15:23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? Isaiah 50, verse 4, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And so, the guardrail of edification, building words give instruction and wisdom. Building words give direction. Building words, they praise the Lord. Building words encourage others. I thank God. But also, we realize that building words are pleasant and appropriate. Amen. Every one of us, as Proverbs 10:32 says, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. And Proverbs 15:26, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Proverbs 31:26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. This is one of my favorite. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. I just used this recently to preach from, and this is one of my most favorite verses that I use, especially on Mother's Day. You know, you always want that your spouse to be a little bit about like your mother. You want your husband to be a little bit like your father. And so when we look and realize that each and every one of us have a tremendous blessing, when we begin to use these building up words, the guardrail of edification, we see firstly the building word that gives instruction and wisdom. Secondly, the building words that give direction. Thirdly, the building word that gives praise to the Lord. The building words that encourage others. And I thank God we see the building words that are pleasant and appropriate. But here, our sixth guardrail of edification is building words facilitate healing. In Proverbs 10, verse 11, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. In Proverbs 12:18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. And so it brings us to our last of the building words of the guardrail of edification, the building words that give instruction and wisdom, the building words that give direction, the building words that praise the Lord, the building words that encourage one another, the building words that are pleasant and that are appropriate, the building words that facilitate healing between yourselves, and lastly, the building words that bring security and truth. Proverbs 22, verses 20 and 21. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sin thee? You see, every one of us, we all have the power like no one else in the world to build up and to encourage our spouses. We need to learn how to use this power. We need to learn how to be the one that would use it, because the guardrail of truth on each side of the road There is no secrets, none whatsoever. On the other side of the road of the guardrail of truth, there is the safe sharing that we all must do. Each and every one of us, as we share that time of these things together, that will bring us even more closer and stronger in our relationships than we've ever been before in the past. And then we see the guardrail of indignation, which is first be angry at the problem and not a person. And then secondly, do not let the anger linger, you know. Don't let it linger. And then thirdly, the guardrail of a proactive indignation helps you to protect the most important part of your life, your heart. Guard your heart and you will guard your marriage. And don't let that anger toward your spouse give you another advantage in communication. Let it be the advantage to listen instead. And then I thank God we see the guardrail of kindness. Never threaten with divorce. Never argue in front of your children. Never attack each other personally. Take breaks during those intense moments, like the car that's overheated, that you need to let it cool off before you touch it to try to check the oil or to put water in the radiator. Let it cool off. And then fourthly, of the guardrails of communication in your marriage, the guardrail of edification. Building words give instruction and wisdom. Building words give direction. Building words praise the Lord. Building words encourage each other. Building words are pleasant and appropriate for your relationship. Building words facilitate healing toward each other. And building words bring security and truth. As I close out, as you work at communication in your marriage, you will have times when you mess up. You'll scrape the guardrails, as we looked at in this Sunday school lesson. And sometimes you will swerve into the ditch, and you may end up traveling in the exact opposite direction that you intended to go in the beginning. But when you struggle to go forward, and when you mess up by overcorrecting, don't just put your communication in park and quit trying. Don't shut down or leave all of the communicating to your spouse or to the other. Communication is a two-lane highway, and it works best if you keep moving on it. And there may be some frustrations along the way, but it is the highway to happiness in your relationship. So keep on driving. Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Father, for giving us everything that we need. Lord, you're the blessing. You're the blessing that we need. And I ask you to intervene in the life of that marriage relationship. Give us strength and power. May we learn from the guardrails that will make us so much stronger in coming days. It will keep us on the road of the two-lane communication that we need to have, because we know, every one of us, that it's a two-lane highway. Father, let us have help with the harmful patterns in our communication that affects our relationship. May we use words of power and encouraging words for building up each other in our marriage. And help us to commit to an open, honest, consistent communication as a couple. Because, Father, we realize the truth, the indignation, the kindness, and the edification that you have for us. In Jesus' marvelous, mighty name. Amen.